Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source.
Listen, the Bojangles Studio, high in the mountains of North Georgia. So welcome to the program. We have 2 hours of outdoors headed your way, and we hope that you'll join us on WSB over 38 states and the SB Nation from Seattle to San Francisco and all throughout California to Miami to Maine and all the major power stations in between. Welcome to O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings for 2 hours of outdoors. No politics, even though I'm really and truly tempted, I can tell you that. But no politics, no financial advice. It's outdoors. It's been proven that you will be happier if you spend an hour outdoors every single week. And I'm here to encourage you to do that. We'll have the radio prize package, the Medal of Honor tribute. We'll have several questions and encouragement for you and for your family to spend time in the outdoors. It's 8 minutes after the hour. We've got a full schedule of questions from the audience, and we'll give away prizes and just have some fun. Our telephone numbers are, please join me on the program this morning, 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255. I'll give you those again. Join us this morning. We'll talk outdoors. 404-872-0750 or outside the Atlanta calling area, 800-972-8255. I'd love to hear from you. We need some calls this morning from via WEEI, I think it is, the super duper sports powerhouse station in the Northeast, from Boston to the tip of Maine, practically Canada. But I'd love to hear from you guys up there. What's the weather like this time of year? And what do you catch up there? Is it all northern pike and walleye? Let me know that too. It's 8:25 in the morning, and we've got 2 hours of outdoors headed your way. When we return, I'll give you the telephone numbers again. I'll tell you about our sponsors, and I'll give you a schedule, indeed, a loosely formed one, because poor little O'Neill, loosely formed one, and we'll get to the questions, and we'll be in touch. This is O'Neill, and I'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. 12 minutes after the hour, this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, and I'm obligated to, and I hope you don't mind. I'm always proud of our sponsors of the show, whether we are WSB and the SB Nation, but Timbuktu Outdoors and True Turn Hook, Stripling's General Store, the Alaska Cruise Adventure, and you need to do that, and we'll talk about it in a moment. Tough Shed, Governor's Gun Club, Real Lubes and Gun Oils. If you haven't tried those, you really should. Zach Brown, Arctic Ice, and Works Tools. So we've paid tribute to everybody who pays us a little money to do this. This is not for fun. This is profit. I've been doing it now for 38 years and on radio and television, and the profit picture looks as slim as ever. But it's 13 after the hour. I tell you what, let's do. Let's refer to this. Let's get started for this hour. If you'll visit O'NeillOutside.com, O'NeillOutside.com, O'NeillOutside.net, you will see on the homepage a guest book right there on the homepage. And if you will send to me observations, complaints, compliments, if you will, questions, whatever the case might be, we will put them in a website, and we will answer those as best we can or refer to them in the show every single week. The one that we choose, we choose a winner every week, and when we do that, we give away an O'Neill Outside book. my first book. The other one's almost ready. It says, O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. And I will personalize it to you and sign it and send it to you. So you got that on the homepage. Now, so let's look at some of the questions from this week and see if we can refer to some of those. We've got to fill up quite a few minutes, so it's 14 after the hour. From James Drew in DeLand, Florida. He said, I fish, but I don't hunt. A lot of people, that's the case. But he loves to see both on the show. I especially like that you include a lot of when, where, and why, as well as the tips in the show. You know, I do that, James, because I've always operated very simply. That being, the more you know, the more you understand, the more about which you are knowledgeable, then the better the outdoor experience can be. So that you're not a rookie every time you go out, whether it's for largemouth bass or sharks or tarpon or white-tailed deer or bear. The more you know about the animal, the place, the time of day, and the reasons why, then the more knowledgeable you can become. Okay, here's from Terry in Ackworth, Georgia. He said, I think you had sea bass and freshwater stripers. Are they the same fish? No, they're not. If you had one each cooked the same, would they taste the same? No. See, Terry, bass is an all-encompassing, all too often used terminology. For instance, they call stripers bass. That is correct, but they call largemouth bass bass, spotted bass bass, but they are not bass. They are sunfish. So this gets all mixed up. Two different fish. Would they taste the same? Nope, not a chance. Let's see, like for instance, in saltwater has all kinds. There's rock bass and black bass and all kind of coral bass and all kind of bass. They really aren't, but it's a catch-all term. Here's a note from Robert Edge in Monroe, Georgia. Nice little town, it really is. My two children and I, they are aged 7 and 15, are very new to fishing. I would love some help on what, how, and where is the best place to start so things aren't so frustrating. What's the best beginner rod and reel? We have gone a couple of times only to lose hooks. Okay. Here, now, this guy lives in Robert. He and his family live in Monroe, Georgia. There's some very, very close, and it applies to every state. They're very, very close wildlife management area and state-supported state parks and recreation areas. Now, these are little ponds. Most of them have a little pier out there for you can fish off the pier. They're fully stocked with fish. They're not crowded. And they're available for a very nominal fee, like $5, okay? Use live bait or use fisher's choice, crickets, mealworms, shrimp. It's all in little cans. You don't have to have live bait. And this stuff lasts and lasts and lasts. So you, but they smell good. See, fish, game fish, locate a great portion. They locate their food by smell. So all this adds to the smell of the in the water. Now, lastly, use a float to cast. Use a float and a weight and a hook. Keep that hook just off the bottom. And you can tell that because of the location of the weight. If the weight is off the bottom, then the cork will stand straight up. If the weight and the hook are on the bottom, the cork will lay down or the float will lie on its side. So you do that, it'll keep you from getting hung up. Okay. Now, about the equipment, just a push-button reel will work. A good old Zebco will work. Just keep it in good working order. Children, like in this case, 7 and 15, have absolutely no patience for something that doesn't work. Okay. I would only add for Robert is to keep it short. You don't have to go from sunrise to sunset. Okay? Have plenty of food. Have plenty of drinks. Just don't take your cell phone so they can't use, or their iPad so they can get involved in that. Okay, here's one from Madison Hornsby. A lot of people from Georgia this time. From Dallas, Georgia. I love your TV show and a radio program. I watch and listen with my dad. He said, Madison says, I'm 15 years old and think my dad has listened to you my whole life. I have a question. Where or what do deer do, he's talking about whitetails, when there's heavy precipitation? Well, unless it's the rutting period, then they will lie down. They will tend to bed down. They don't like for it to rain either. And they will, because they feed all the time. They got plenty of food. They will lie down. They will get quiet. Because if it's raining, usually the wind is blowing. And my experience is, if the wind is blowing and the leaves and trees and limbs are blowing, he's spooked by that. And if he's spooked, then he lies down. Interesting, isn't it? The more you know, the more successful you are likely to be, as long as you exercise patience. I bet you hadn't thought about that before. If the leaves and the limbs are swaying, it spooks the whitetail. And yes, it does. Absolutely. He notices movement. See, I'll get to this. I'll get to the balance of these in a minute. Now think about the whitetail. I've got 30 seconds. Think about the whitetail deer. His eyes are out on the side of his head. He is a prey animal. He's always looking for danger. His eyes aren't in the front, so he doesn't see depth, but he sees movement out of both sides of his head. His crossover in the middle from his eyes, his crossover is only about 10%. That's why he's always running into fences and running into things when he's running. Okay, enough about that. We'll get to more of the O'Neill Outside question, and we'll give away the book. This is O'Neill, and more outdoors is headed your way. I'll be back. Time for some coffee. Can a grocery... It's been a long time coming, couldn't keep on running, had to hit rock bottom to know when you keep on... 5 after the hour, this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, the number one live outdoor-based radio program in the country, and we're awfully thankful for that. We've been doing this now for 28 years. The television show is 38 years, and the last comment is, I'm about tired of it. I really am. I woke up this morning at 1 o'clock. I'm too old for this. And if you want to come over here and do the radio show, I welcome your presence. No, it's still fun. I'm not complaining. Okay. All right, we have one more question to handle on the O'Neill Outside guest book at my website. And you can go there and leave your question. And if we pick your question on the air and award you an O'Neill Outside book, my first book. Okay. This question comes in, and it's an often answered question, and it's from Karen Jameson in Lansing, Michigan. I love these questions because it gives me an opportunity to answer it so that all of you hear that answer, because people are still confused by this. Okay, the question is, I love your show. Yeah, that's a good way to start. I really enjoy your television and radio show every Saturday. Karen, I hope you're listening. Can you tell me when the whitetail rut is in North Georgia? I'm a fairly new deer hunter. Thank you in advance. That's a real easy question to answer, Karen, and it's a smart aleck answer too, but I'll explain. The rut in North Georgia, in the same place, is exactly the same time as the year before, and the year before, and the year before. It's not governed by the east wind or the west wind, or whether it's raining or whether it's dry, or whether certain flowers are blooming, or anything of that nature. It's determined strictly by the photoperiod. Now, what does that mean? It means that the declining in the wherever that deer is, wherever that deer lives, wherever that deer's heritage is, that deer, that white-tailed deer's rut, their mating activity, the breeding cycle, is determined by the declining number of hours of daylight. And that is exactly the same as the previous year. Now, wait a second, O'Neill. Why is it different some places? It's different deer. There are 36 subspecies of white-tailed deer in the United States. For instance, great example, the Georgia replenished or restocked, I'll use Georgia as an example. Georgia restocked their white-tailed deer 50, 60 years ago with deer that were brought in from several different states with different backgrounds, different heritage, different breeding. So, in Georgia, the deer along the coastal plain, that bring the coast of Georgia, that Piedmont area, that rut is in October. Central Georgia rut is generally November. In North Georgia, generally, again, the rut is December. And the greatest example of that at 29 after the hour is that the deer in Alabama, the Alabama state white-tailed deer was, they were restocked from a population down in the southwest corner of the state. And over the centuries, those deer rutted late because of the spring floods. The spring floods, if you were a fawn, an early rut fawn in southwest Alabama, you drowned because that's when the rivers flooded. So you didn't live to pass on your heritage. But eventually, those deer rutted late in the year. And that's where Alabama stocked all of their whitetails throughout the state. So the Alabama deer ruts in January and sometimes even February. So here you've got two states, Alabama and Georgia, side by side, and with the exact number of hours of daylight to the second, one Central Time and one Eastern, of course. But they are the same. However, the rutting period is different. So the answer to Karen Jameson in Lansing, Michigan is, when is the rut? Same as last year. And it won't change, ever. Is there a second rut? Absolutely. But the original timing of the first rut is exactly the same. And if there's a second rut, because of the imbalance of the bucks and does, then there'll be a second rut 28 days after the first rut. You follow? People get mixed up. They think that the white-tailed deer, they think the white-tailed deer copulates with a doe in just a few minutes. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and I'll catch you later. No, he doesn't. They spend quite a bit of time together. Hours, if not. Maybe even days they spend. She will lie down or bed down, and he will stand next to her until she stops receiving him. It doesn't take one mating copulation. Sometimes it takes more. That's why if there's 10 does per buck on a given piece of property, on a given wildlife management area, that means that there's a number of does that are likely not bred during the first rutting cycle. They're bred during the second rutting cycle because there's just not enough bucks to get around. What a delight. And anyway, that's how it works. Is it involved? Yes. Is it difficult to understand? No, it's not. And because I've heard so many people say, oh man, it's cold. The wind's out of the east. The rut's going to start. No, it's not. Now, let me back up and say the amount of human encroachment, the buck-to-deer ratio, whether it's cold or whether it's hot or whether it's raining, all those things affect deer activity. But it doesn't affect the rutting cycle. Okay, Cork's back in the jug. 33 after the hour on O'Neill Outside. And, we're going to play, we can get some, I can't talk to the studio. But we're going to play... who is this? I love this game. We're going to play Who Is This? I'm going to describe someone to you, and you call the studio, and maybe they can get to me somehow over my cell phone or something, and tell me who might be winning. Let me see. I don't think I can tell if I'm getting calls or anything. You just stay right there while I engineer just for a moment. And... well, I'll get to it in a minute. Okay, here we go. This man was, he began his career in bass fishing when he was 23, early. In 1992, he became the youngest person to ever win the BASS, or the Bass Angler of the Year title. He was only 25 years old. He's won 25 career bass tournaments, and that's more than anybody. He has 111 top 10s, 173 top 20s, and 214 top 30 finishes. He was awarded, now this is really unusual, he was awarded the first ever Outdoorsman of the Year, an ESPY, or an ESPN, ESPY award in 2002, 17 years ago. He was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan. The first, and if I can get to this, the first correct caller to 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255 that tells me who this person is correctly, then I will, I'll give you an O'Neill Outside signed fishing cap. Well, this is really interesting this morning, isn't it? Doing 15 things at once. Let's see if I can get in here. It's funny. I've asked this question, but the people, the engineers at WSB that are listening to the show right now but cannot call me, they don't know who this is either. Oh, right. It's 36 after the hour, and we'll make do here as we proceed, I'll bet you. So this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, and... call if you can. Maybe we'll fix everything so that we can get to the calls. We do this every Saturday morning, which is kind of burdensome, really. But we still enjoy it, and we enjoy connecting with fishermen worldwide. And we will continue to do so as long as I can get up early in the morning to do it. O'Neill's been doing this for 28 years and gratified by it. So there's the Who Is This description. Telephone the numbers I gave you, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255, and maybe if I can get a call through to me, if you guess who this is, I'll send you a fishing cap. This is O'Neill, and we'll be back. 4:40 after the hour, this is O'Neill Outside on the SB Nation, nationwide, over to 100 stations, and WSB. You can tune in AM WSB at 750 and FM at 95.5. And, of course, the SB Nation stations you can listen to all over the country. All right, somebody will call in. We're having some engineering difficulties, but we'll get to the answer to the question here pretty soon. Right now, I urge you to do this over and over and over and over again. And I'm going to do it the same right now. And what is that? Listen, spend some quality time with your children and family outdoors. And there's a point to be made here. And I hope it's a valid one, and I hope that you'll think it's a valid one if you listen. Because I'm talking from experience. I played every sport you could play, just about. I didn't play lacrosse, but baseball, basketball, wrestling, soccer, football, everything. I don't do any of that now, but I'm still involved in the outdoors. Now, your children, boys and girls, your children may not be athletes. They may be in other clubs in school. Good. But I can tell you, no matter what kind of a club it is, a Latin club, a Civitan club, any kind of a social club, outdoors will last longer. And here's the main point. All those other things are team sports. Good. I personally, and no one else, suffers because it's a team sport or a team club, okay? But outdoors is individuals. Outdoors is one-on-one. There aren't any telephone calls. And when you're fishing, it doesn't matter if it's a 2-inch brim or a 5-pound bass. You're together. The two of you. And the last tip in that regard, and I know I'm saying the same things over and over and over again, but this morning with our engineering difficulties, you're going to have to trust that I have to repeat myself. And that is this. To enjoy the outdoors, you don't have to go fishing. You don't have to go hunting. You don't have to go camping. A simple walk on an outdoor trail can suffice. How so, and how to make the most of that? Now, I learned this from my grandfather on my mother's side. My grandfather, he was orphaned. He was the oldest of five children. He was orphaned when he was 10 years old. And being the oldest of the group, he was apportioned out to evidently a rough customer uncle who was, quite frankly, a moonshiner. And he was treated poorly. He never went to school beyond 10 years old. I think he was in the fourth grade, but there you are. But he was very smart. He taught himself to read and write, and he spent his entire life with the Georgia Power Company. He was an engineer. But he taught me the following, and it can apply to you and your family while you're walking in the woods, fishing, hunting, whatever the case might be. He took me with him, and I learned to go slowly. Unless you're on a pointed destination in a hurry, slow down. Be quiet. Take a few steps and stop. Look around. And if you're quiet for a few minutes and sit still, the woods will wake up around you. The birds, the squirrels, the whatever, maybe even white-tailed deer. They will forget about you if they don't smell you. And they will continue their activities. So, make the outdoors part of your activities. It's summertime. The kids aren't in school. Go to the lake. Get off early one day and go for a walk in the woods. And just like I gave a memory to you, they'll remember it forever. Okay. All right, we've got a question floating around out there. Let me telephone or talk to the boys at WSB, the engineers there. Do we have an answer to our question yet, gentlemen? Maybe they're not on the phone anymore. Let me see. Isn't this funny?
Yes, we do have an answer. His name is Gene Acton.
And who is that?
Gene Acton somewhere. Carrollton.
Dean Atkins? Okay. The answer, the question has been answered from somebody in Georgia, in Carrollton, I think he said. In any case, the answer to the question was, when I gave you that description, the answer was Kevin Van Dam. And he is probably currently the best competitive or tournament bass fisherman in the country. Kevin Van Dam. I've met him on a couple of occasions, and he is a gentleman. Unassuming, quiet, gentle, kind and friendly. He is a credit to the sport of bass fishing. He's been on the BASS trail. He's won FLW tournaments, and I think now he is on Major League Fishing, and he's a great guy. And I have not been in the boat with him on a fishing trip, but I can tell you I've seen video of him in a tournament. And he understands largemouth bass, and he works awfully hard. He's mechanically, he's probably perfect. To me, the most, the pioneer, if you will, in competitive bass fishing is Roland Martin, because he went beyond everyone early. He was the one who publicly discovered pattern fishing. Roland, I'm going to guess now and say Roland is 77 years old, as is Bill Dance. I think Jimmy Houston is 76 years old. So if they're on television, enjoy them while you can, because I don't know how long that'll continue to last. Roland's a great guy. So is Bill. And those, I would tell you that those on YouTube, those videos on YouTube that you watch Bill Dance, those Bill Dance bloopers, that's the real Bill Dance. That's the guy. He is as he appears on television. And so is Jimmy Houston, and so is Roland. They're great guys. And watch those shows when you can. And gives me the opportunity, as I've instructed and recommended to you, to watch their YouTube channels. Go to O'Neill Outside. O'Neill Outside on YouTube. I have 600 or so videos there. Cooking segments with Big Green Egg. Cooking segments with Swaggerties. Cooking segments, tips, hunting tips, fishing tips, on and on and on. And take a look at them. Regrettably, I guess, to some of you, they aren't all exciting. All of them, not all of them, most of them are much of the same things that you're listening right now, so that we all can learn something together. And if I could get some calls today, I do always enjoy listening to calls from the audience instructing me about outdoors. I am not what you would call a seasoned saltwater angler. When I go to saltwater, I have to have a guide. I have to have someone with a different boat, with different tackle, with different procedures, with different knowledge and different background. So that's what it goes for me. I have to have a guide in saltwater, and I always recommend that. I mean, you can go to the Georgia coast. Gosh, here's a recommendation for you. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, North Florida, if you will go to St. Simons, hire, well in advance, a fellow by the name of Mark Noble. Now, he's been a guide his whole life. He is a St. Simons Island native. and he's a guide out of the St. Simon's Marina there. I don't know if that's the name of the marina, but it's in St. Simon's. Book him for the during the month of October for redfish. Oh, my goodness. The minimum keeping size for redfish off the Georgia coast there is 22-inch minimum. Anything over that, you have to put back. I'm going to reference for you that I've been with Mark 10 or 12 times in October for redfish. I've never caught a redfish under 22 inches. I've caught them as big as 50 pounds. The Georgia coast is outstanding for redfish. And Mark is a great guide. You'll enjoy spending the day with him. I promise. So we gave away a hat for someone, and we'll find out about that later. But I'll send the hat out. I don't think I'll do the radio prize package this morning because our engineering difficulties. I think I'll pass on that. But we do have other things to do, especially in the second hour of the program. Right now it's 51 after the hour. And so all over the United States, via the SB Nation and WSB, you're listening to O'Neill Outside and encouraging you to make outdoors part of your life. And I'll tell you a great source for you to do this. My reference for expanding my knowledge, the places to go, the state parks, the recreation, the rules, the limits, all of those things in Georgia, I get that from the Department of Natural Resources and their website. Now, I can assure you, if you live in the Carolinas or Tennessee or Alabama or Texas or wherever it might be, your Department of Natural Resources website is a wealth of information about outdoors, about the rules, the regulations, the licenses, where to fish, when to fish, where to hunt, how to hunt. It's loaded with information. And you can get that via your Department of Natural Resources or the state parks and recreation sites within the Department of Natural Resources off the internet. Isn't the internet wonderful? Well, there's some downsides, but basically it's wonderful. I was discussing this with someone else the other day. Only at my age, I use simple declarative sentences. I don't ask for advice. I should, but I don't. But I don't ask for advice much, but I'm about to tell you something, and you check it out, all right? There's three things in the last 100 years that changed the world. One was the automobile. Number two was the personal computer. And number three, and I'm going to pick it up right now, number three was the cell phone. Those three things, more than anything else, I'm not talking about war or weather. I'm talking about inventions. Those three things changed the world, all over the world, globally. I've got a great book to recommend to you when I return. This is O'Neill, and I'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. A couple of things. This is O'Neill. You're listening to O'Neill Outside Radio, Saturday mornings, WSB and the SB Nation, just in case you tuned in and you didn't know what the heck's going on. This is O'Neill. That's me. Okay. Two things before I have to get out of here, and that is, number one, visit O'Neill. I'm inviting you. Visit O'NeillOutside.com or O'NeillOutside.net. At the scroll down to the bottom of the home page, and you will see information about a cruise that we're taking to Alaska. Now, I've been on lots of cruises. This is the number one. There's nothing like this last frontier, if you will. Alaska is one of a kind. And this cruise starts in Seattle, and we use the inland waterway, what's called the Lynn Canal, up to the glaciers and mountains and all that stuff. Then we go back 7 days later to Seattle. I want you to go on the cruise. I made special pricing. This is not a profit center for O'Neill. No. I just thought we, if we could arrange it and you would like to go on this cruise, but do it now. This is next summer, June of 2020. So, but do it now. Reserve your room now. You can cancel later, but reserve your room now. And I'm telling you that because you need to get an outside balcony. This is unbelievable views. All right, second thing before I leave. And I'll talk more about this in the next hour of the show. I've got a book that I'm going to recommend that you read. It's called Endurance. It's the story of Shackelford and his attempt to cross Antarctica. I think he had 29 guys with him, and he spent over the winter in Antarctica. And he never lost a single man. We'll talk about that in the second hour of O'Neill Outside, and we'll be busy then, too. Stay right there.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station. This is Atlanta's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. News 95.5 and AM 750. WSB, Atlanta's news, starts
now. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.